Hi, I'm Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks, here to talk about Dev Intersection at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas at the end of October. And with me, Jay Schmelzer. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
Yeah, we've been hither and yon together over the years, working on different projects.
We certainly have, yes. A little more yon than hither, I think.
Yes. But you've been pretty immersed in the open source side of Microsoft for the past couple of years. And
I have.
And a big part of the .NET Foundation, which, congratulations, seems to be up and running. Martin Woodward and a great panel of smart people.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm really excited about kind of the growth we've had in terms of foundation. We started kind of intentionally a little bit smaller to make sure we were learning from the rest of the open source community and kind of doing this foundation in the right way. And kind of at that point, we're starting to springboard up a bit, so that's good.
Well, and friends of mine and yours and folks that we've had on .NET Rocks and speaking at Dev Intersection over the years, contributing code to that, you know? I think of Laurent Bunyan, right, and his projects.
Yep.
Like, people are proud to be part of that foundation, to have their code reside inside of there.
Yeah, we've got a really nice queue of projects looking to come into the foundation and be a part of it, which is always a good thing to see as part of an open source foundation.
Yeah, a place that people want to have their code reside, and it makes other people confident that they can use it, and it'll be properly protected and represented as necessary.
Yeah, really starting to create that vibrant center of the ecosystem, which is good.
And for the developer, there's all this new tooling and opportunity. You can pretty much build on the .NET stack however you want.
Yeah, it's great. One of the big things, obviously, you know, back in November, we made that big announcement about taking .NET, not only open source, but also cross-platform.
Right.
All of it feeding into the kind of mantra that you've probably heard from us for the last, you know, 8 to 12 months around really becoming a tool set for every developer and every app.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to do that is to have technology that's relevant to the places that developers need to not only to deploy code, but also where they want to build the code from,
right?
And where they want their tool set to reside.
Yeah, so this is the operating system on the server that hosts my code, is the operating system on the device that runs it, but where I actually build it,
yep.
I mean, for a long time, that was Visual Studio on Windows, that was it. If I wanted to run a Mac, I ran it in Bootcamp.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest perception change we're trying to make with .NET is, historically, you think .NET, you think Windows,
mm-hmm.
right? You think Visual Studio. Those are the only, you know, you're going to run Visual Studio on Windows, building an app for Windows, and that's kind of equated to .NET historically.
Right.
And really trying to change that perception to get people and developers to realize, no, this is much broader than that now, and we'll have a phenomenal core runtime that's available on Linux as well as Mac,
mm-hmm.
So we can then create a set of developer tools around developers not only running Windows, but also developers using a Mac natively.
Right.
As their development platform or Linux, and then deploying to Windows or Linux environments for their server.
And that's not necessarily Visual Studio code either, right? If I'm a happy Vim guy,
yeah.
I'm okay?
Yeah, Vim, Sublime, whatever you want to mm-hmm. use, right? Making sure that you have a great productive experience building .NET applications using those tools.
And what about the, you know, Studio's not just about typing code in either. Like, I'll admit flatly, I'm a Studio guy. I mean, I built software in other ways, it's been a long time. But what you forget when you live in the Studio world is that my debugger's built in. Like, all those things are there. How do you bring that experience when you take Studio out of the equation?
Well, I think that's where a lot of the technology you see coming out of tools like VS Code, Visual Studio Code, is really about how do we go and create debuggers and other tools like that that can be plugged into that VS Code environment
mm-hmm.
That can run anywhere. You know, in theory, you can plug those into any other tool as well to start getting a richer experience. Still probably won't be quite the level that you have in something like a Visual Studio where we know everything is there and we know exactly how to make it all work.
Yeah, there's a reason Studio is as big as it is. Right? It's such a trivial thing, you know, that's a lot of code.
It's a lot of great functionality.
Mm-hmm. It's substantial, but you know, you get used to living in that window. I'm always fascinated watching other devs on other machines, you know, different approaches and the assembly of tools they have. So it's cool to me to see some of that stuff is .NET now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that clearly was part of the Visual Studio design was that was really centered around that integration aspect, right? The integration of the development experience.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is in one, you know, one frame, one window, and we just kept adding tools in there that seamlessly work well together.
Right.
There's another whole set of developers out there that like to work in that environment where it's pick the best tool for the job.
Yep.
A lot of them are on the command line, right? And allow me to just kind of stitch those things together into a workflow that works well for me. And so trying to balance those two things.
Yeah, very much it's my stack, my assembly. Yep. Although I see a lot of those open source tools now, you know, the Gulps and the Bowers of the world showing up in Studio as well.
Absolutely. That's part of the experience is making sure that whether you're a Visual Studio user or not, you know, whatever tools you've been using, we can kind of let you bring those into your experience. So if you're a Visual Studio guy, but you've been using Gulp for a while, great.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an adult person and you're starting to get introduced to this Visual Studio, well, okay, let's pull that in as well and allow you to kind of keep using that experience.
So still, you really come at it from both angles.
Exactly.
And same on the deployment side. I mean, it's just an interesting thought to have, you know, ASP MVC running on Ubuntu.
Yep. It's, you know, and that's kind of the whole underlying design principle here, right, is ensuring that as a developer, I can use the environment, I can work in the environment I want to, whether that's a Windows machine, whether it's Mac, whether it's a Linux machine, build my application, and then deploy it where I need to, whether that is Linux or Windows or, you know, I guess, it, for a set of utilities that we think about for .NET Core, Mac as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, giving you a consistent experience to be able to build in the environment you want to build to and deploy to the environment that you need to deploy to.
Well, and if I've got an organization that's running Linux as their server suite, they've got probably a pretty detailed deployment and configuration script already. So, I mean, it's got to be a challenge to plug into that existing infrastructure. Like maybe it's Chef.
Yep.
You know, that's your recipe for getting out there. So I'm going to be able to put my .NET code and make it part of that recipe.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is one of the big, again, that's one of the big motivators for us doing crossplat.net is, you know, I talk to a number of organizations, number of customers where they say, hey, we love your runtime, we think it's really good,
sure.
But I'm a Linux shop. There is no way I'm putting a Windows machine in this environment because of all that orchestration I've built up
sure.
and all of those tools I've created.
And the way that I profile my security, yeah. I mean, the way that I operate, you're substantially complicating the way I operate if you change a server OS.
Yep.
It's not a small thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so we want to make sure that we can allow you to get all the benefits of .NET and still deploy into your existing infrastructure.
Right, and even if that infrastructure happens to be in the cloud.
That would be fantastic.
Works that way too.
Yep.
So that's going to be your talk, is focused on cross-plat from the dev's perspective.
Right, really be digging in and looking at, okay, so we've talked about this .NET Core thing, we've talked about .NET being cross-platform, mm-hmm. but really what can you do with it? What are the real scenarios that we were designing it for?
Right.
So my intention and what we'll see is a lot of demos and a lot of really spending time in code as a consumer of that .NET cross-platform runtime and framework. And probably do a little bit of contributing back into it as well, so show folks that are interested how to actually get engaged in the project itself and contributing back into that framework.
You know, that's an aside, but an interesting one, especially when you look at it from the .NET Foundation point of view, is the conversations that are going on in like GitHub around ASP.NET vNext and other tools now, that you really can contribute to those projects if
oh,
you want.
Absolutely. I mean, the open aspect of this is it's not just about the code being out there.
Right.
Right. All the engineering work is happening in GitHub. Right? You see every pull request from the engineers at Microsoft, from engineers outside of Microsoft.
Right.
All of them go through the same code review process that happens in GitHub. Right. It happens in the pull request conversation. But you're also seeing that it's an open design philosophy there
right.
too. And the teams are at various stages of maturity in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The C# language team is doing design conversations of the next version of C#, you know, on GitHub. So they're
right.
having detailed conversations about every possible thing we could do in the language. The framework team is doing, you know, is recording their API design review meetings that they have, these 2-3 hour meetings where we talk about should we add, you know, this member, that member, this overload, that overload to the framework and why, and what our principles are behind that. They're recording those and making them available.
Right.
You know, the ASP.NET team is probably the most mature in the sense that they're doing that plus, you know, weekly live stand-ups with the community.
And people are directly involved in it.
Involved.
And there have been direct contributors too. Although one of the talking points we had in .NET Rocks when we talked about this particular issue is like, you better read first. You know, you can't just, you know, fork the code, make a contribution and expect it to be picked up. You really need to figure out where people are and you should have a conversation with
yep.
the team and with everybody involved before you start writing some code.
Yeah, we absolutely try to publish a roadmap of what it is that we're intending to do in a
mm-hmm.
given release. So from that, that's your first indication of if it fits in that, it's probably something that we're, you know, going to be interested in taking right away,
right.
right, or in that time frame. The other thing the team's been exploring are for folks that just don't know what they want to do or whether
yeah.
or not you know, somebody working on this issue or this capability, we've created what we call a list of things that are kind of available for sign up, right?
Right.
So we actually will tag things with a special tag that says, hey, these are up for grabs.
Yeah.
That's really the way we refer to it. And so you know that there's nobody else on the team or in the ecosystem that's actively working.
You're not
on
stepping
that.
On anybody
yeah.
if you do grab that thing.
Yeah.
You're calling it out saying, look at that. But I still think it's wise to have a conversation
oh,
about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's always going to be lots of notes and lots of sort of don't go there, there be dragons. People have made it ended up for grabs for a reason. Right? There's some challenges and it's not maybe critical on the timeline. Like you've got to sort of figure out how it's going to fit into that.
Yeah. I mean the upper grabs list is a pretty good place to start because we have at least as a as an open source project, vetted those and said, yeah, we think
this is a safe place to work.
Right, and it's a good place to go grab something.
That's a really interesting aspect of this whole process.
Yeah.
Jay, thanks so much for chatting with
me. Awesome. Always fun.
Yeah, you bet. And we hope you'll come out this fall at Dev Intersection. If you sign up early, you could get yourself a Surface 3 or an Xbox or a Microsoft Band. And that's available for early registrations, depending on the package you happen to get. You'll see Jay there and a bunch of other great Microsoft folks at Dev Intersection in Las Vegas at MGM Grand at the end of October. Hope to see you there.